Chapter 16. The Crawling of the Skin. As Bond hurtled round the bend, caressing the great car against the camber with an easy sway of body and hands, he was working out his plan of action when the distance between the two cars had narrowed still further. He imagined that the enemy driver would try to dodge off into a side road if he got the chance. So when he got round the bend and saw no lights ahead, it was a normal reflex to ease up on the accelerator and, when he saw the Michelin post, to prepare to brake. He was only doing about 60 as he approached the black patch across the right-hand crown of the road, which he assumed to be the shadow cast by a wayside tree. Even so, there was no time to save himself. There was suddenly a small carpet of glinting steel spikes right under his offside wing. Then he was on top of it. Bond automatically slammed the brakes full on and braced all his sinews against the wheel to correct the inevitable slew to the left, but he only kept control for a split second. As the rubber was flayed from his offside wheels and the rims for an instant tore up the tarmac, the heavy car whirled across the road in a tearing dry skid, slammed the left bank with a crash that knocked Bond out of the driving seat onto the floor, and then, facing back up the road, it reared slowly up, its front wheels spinning and its great headlights searching the sky. For a split second, resting on the petrol tank, it seemed to paw at the heavens like a giant praying mantis. Then slowly it toppled over backwards and fell with a splintering crash of coachwork and glass. In the deafening silence, the near-side front wheel whispered briefly on and then squeaked to a stop. Le Chiffre and his two men only had to walk a few yards from their ambush.
"Put your guns away and get him out," he ordered brusquely. "I'll keep you covered. Be careful of him. I don't want a corpse. And hurry up, it's getting light."
The two men got down on their knees. One of them took out a long knife and cut some of the fabric away from the side of the convertible hood and took hold of Bond's shoulders. He was unconscious and immovable. The other squeezed between the upturned car and the bank and forced his way through the crumpled window frame. He eased Bond's legs, pinned between the steering wheel and the fabric roof of the car. Then they inched him out through a hole in the hood. They were sweating and filthy with dust and oil by the time they had him lying in the road. The thin man felt his heart, and then slapped his face hard on either side. Bond grunted and moved a hand. The thin man slapped him again.
"That's enough," said Le Chiffre. "Tie his arms and put him in the car. Here." He threw a roll of flex to the man. "Empty his pockets first and give me his gun. He may have got some other weapons, but we can get them later."
He took the objects the thin man handed him and stuffed them and Bond's Beretta into his wide pockets without examining them. He left the men to it and walked back to the car. His face showed neither pleasure nor excitement.